We're all together. I'm sorry. Good morning, everybody. Would you stand with me? I know you just sat down, but here it is. We're going to read. We're embarking on a really cool journey here for the next few weeks, heading up to family camp. And we are going to be studying an amazing chapter in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 starts with this. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Let these words just stir into your heart this morning. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. But those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in that realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if the Spirit is in you, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. How's that for an introduction? Our Father in heaven, we give you praise this morning. We come to worship you this morning, Lord. God, we thank you for the invention of air conditioning. It's beautiful in here, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. We live in a good day and a good season, a good time in humanity. Lord, we thank you that we are followers of Yeshua, of Jesus, in the 21st century. Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Who are we in you, Lord? What have you done to us? We're still trying to figure that out all these years after accepting you. We're trying to understand the things that you've done and who we are. What this beautiful Jesus is, his touch in our lives, what it means, not just today, but forever. I pray that you would open our eyes this morning, Lord, that we might see as your children. And I ask, Lord, that you would touch our ears, that we might hear the Spirit of truth deep within our innermost being, speaking spiritual truths to us. Mold us and make us and shape us in the image of your Son, we pray. And we ask this for your glory. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And all those who love God would say, amen. You all may be seated. A new series today, Romans chapter 8. There are many who say that this is one of the greatest chapters in the New Testament. There are so many nuggets of gold when you read the 8th chapter of Romans. And one of them is at the end when it states that we are more than conquerors in Christ. Last year, our theme at family camp was superheroes. And this year, our theme is survivor. You guys remember the TV show Survivor? You know, they stick you on an island and you got to survive. Well, isn't it almost like we're on the island called Planet Earth? And yet here we are, we're more than survivors, people. It says in Romans 8, and we'll get to it in the series, that you in this room are more than a conqueror in Christ. You're not just surviving, people. You're thriving. You're conquering. Romans 8 is a great chapter, and we're going to have fun with it in the next weeks. Now, I want to say, to kick things off, we have been having so many babies being born in this church, and it's awesome. On the 4th, Jen and Sean Merritt's baby came, and the little baby is called Mira. And I'll give a picture of her next week, okay? But I told Sean, we got to name her Martha, 4th of July, Martha Washington. But no, they rebelled against my counsel as pastor. But you know what? We are so grateful. There have been so many babies being born in this church. Our nursery, we're expanding our nursery. And we're exploding with kids at this church, and we love it. We love it. Have you ever held one of these? Have you guys ever held a newborn baby? How many people in here have held a newborn baby? Just raise your hand, right? Right? They're so soft. They're so cute. They're so cuddly. They smell good. They got those little puffy cheeks. It almost makes you want to take a bite out of them, doesn't it? I mean, you just, have you ever held one of these? Hey, mom and dad, do you remember the first time your little one like this lied to you? Can you remember when that happened? This precious little baby lied to you. Do you remember that day? I remember one time my little boy, Jonathan, candy on the table. Can't eat candy. He's got chocolate all over his face. Jonathan, did you eat that candy on the table? No, Daddy. I looked at him and he just had this look. I went, really? Really? Who taught my little baby how to lie? How many of you in here had to teach your children how to lie? How many of you had to do that, parents? You didn't, did you? Because they're natural born liars, aren't they? They're natural born liars. When you are holding this little baby in your arms, all soft and cute and cuddly and smelling so good, you are holding a very soft, cute, cuddly little sinner. Amen? You don't have to teach them how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to be selfish. You don't have to teach them how to be greedy or to be self-centered. It just comes naturally. As a matter of fact, as a parent, you'll be teaching for 18 plus years trying to teach your kid not to do what comes so naturally to them. Amen? How did this happen? Why does this happen? Why are little babies like this? Do you know, I didn't want to shoot up the Merritt's baby because they might be offensive, so I don't know who this baby is. Put that baby down. It's too cute. Why does this happen? Have you ever just pondered with this? There is something broken in us. The great Apostle Paul, who we studied last week, if you were here, we studied the testimony of Paul, per se. The Apostle Paul explains this problem beautifully in the writings of his book of Romans. It's his longest and most fullest expression of the gospel that he writes, the book of Romans. He speaks of the good news of Jesus in incredible detail. And when you read Romans, you will see this incredibly intelligent Pharisee, guided by the Holy Spirit, explaining in systematic order our fallen condition. He explains the baby. In Romans chapter 1, he explains the fall of all nations and how all of humanity is marred, is broken, is trapped in sin and guilty before a holy God. That's in the first chapter. He explains in the second chapter that Israel, not the nations, but Israel, God's people, are trapped in sin and how the laws of God can't rescue them. All humanity, Jew and Gentile, is trapped in sin and guilty before a holy God. He explains in the third chapter that only in Jesus are we justified by faith. Are we saved from this condition? And then Paul begins to go back in the fourth chapter of Romans to Abraham. and shows that even before the law, even before the Old Testament, even before the Torah, Abraham was declared righteous by his faith in God. And he speaks of the promises that are on the wall, that Abraham's offspring will bring healing to all nations. Paul begins to describe in the fourth chapter of Romans the faith of Abraham, and that he begins explaining the banners on the wall of Genesis and Revelations of the coming of Messiah. That Abraham is the father of a new faith-based, multi-ethnic covenant family in Jesus, which is heavy. And that's exactly what's on these walls. He shows us in the fifth chapter that God is he's justified humanity through a new Adam, Jesus. Paul describes that there was a first Adam that was born, and sin came through this first Adam. But a new Adam has come, a new person has come, Jesus, the second Adam, to repair the destruction that the first Adam allowed. It's a great chapter. And then, as you move into chapter 6, Paul begins to describe that as we, as people of this new Adam, this new Jesus, are baptized, we're being baptized out of this old life and into this new life. It's a beautiful theological teaching of Paul in Romans. When he hits Romans 7, he says, so why is the Torah, is the teachings of Moses evil? What is the point of the law, he asks. What's the point of all 613 of the laws of Moses? He says that God's laws are good. That God shows us how to live and what he expects from us. And that these moral laws reveal to us that we're messed up. This is Paul's famous theological teaching. And you know what's so beautiful? And I just want to read this. Because at the very end, as he's building up to Romans 8, the chapter, he says this. And I just want to read it to you because it just, we need to hear it. He says, we know that the law is spiritual, right? But I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin that lives in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good. He has the moral law. He knows what's right. He's a Jew. But I cannot carry it out, he says. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I don't want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in the law of God. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man that I am, this great Pharisee says. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Answer? When I read that chapter, are you in that chapter? Isn't that a... Can you imagine a very religious Pharisee writes that chapter in reflection? Paul the Apostle says that there's a paradox in his life. He says, I know the law and the right thing to do, but I don't do it. Sound familiar, right? We're 7 months into this year. How's your New Year's resolutions doing? Do you guys even remember what they were? Usually we kind of forget them by now, don't we? Right? We want to do good. I got New Year's resolutions. These are things I'm going to do, right? 7 months later, most of us, not all of us, God bless you, we don't even remember what they were. But next year, we'll do them again, won't we? But can we fulfill them? We know what we need to be doing. Romans is Paul's doctrinal thesis, his most complete work describing in systematic detail sin, he describes the baby, the law, God's purposes in the Old Testament leading into the New. Paul talks about his own sin nature as a Jew. Even when he knows it's wrong, he still struggles with it. And in Romans 7, he ends with these words, "Who will set me free from this?" And he writes, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The letter builds, people. That's what I'm trying to say. When you read this letter as a complete thought, it builds in intensity. And then it hits with Romans chapter 8. Behold the beginnings of the 8th chapter of Romans. And can we just read the first verse together as a church? Are you ready? Here it is. Therefore, come on, ready? 1, 2, 3. Read it for me. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Let that sink in. Do we need to read that again? I think we might need to read that verse again, don't you? All together. 1, 2, 3. Let that sink in. How's that for the beginning of a chapter? How do those words make you feel?
Free.
Free. Think of your worst day. Think of the day that you lied to your daddy when you ate your chocolate. Or even worse. Did you guys ever do anything worse than lying to your mom or your daddy about eating a piece of chocolate on the table? If any of you did any worse than that in your life so far, just raise your hand. Really? Before God, how do you stand? Before God, how do you all stand? There is now no condemnation. How did that happen? How did that happen? That's a beautiful word. It's the beginning of a chapter. I am not condemned before God? That's beautiful, isn't it? How do you think this made the Apostle Paul feel? Remember, people, he murdered. He was a murderer of the church. He stood there and watched Stephen die, and he was like, hit him again with a brick. Hit him again with a stone. He tortured. He was a persecutor of Christians. And now for him to write these words saying, there is now no condemnation for me, he's way worse than eating a piece of chocolate, isn't he? And he can say, I am not condemned in Christ. And he says, it is the same for you. How do you think these words, this truth made him feel? Paul learns this great truth from the cross in Jesus and how he has no condemnation because of Jesus. Jesus took all his sins. And there's no condemnation on Paul in heaven or any of us in Christ. Let that just pause. Let that just sink in. People, you and all your sins are gone in Jesus. Let that sink in. Us not being condemned is due to God's actions of condemning our sins in Jesus on the cross. He was condemned so we won't be. Do you love him yet? Take notes this morning. Take notes this morning. Are you ready? There's pens in front, paper right there. Write this down. The first blessing of salvation is no condemnation. The first blessing of salvation is no condemnation. That's beautiful. Put that in. Write that down. Stir it in. Who are you in Christ? He builds in Romans 8, and now he's coming. Romans 8, 2 through 4, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free, underline that word, from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did. God did it. Not you, God did. How? By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in Jesus, in order that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fully met in us through Jesus and what he did on the cross for you and me. Do you love him yet? Who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Take notes this morning. The second blessing of salvation is liberation. It's liberation. Liberated. Don't you love the word free? What are we free from, people? The law reveals our heart, our brokenness, we're sinners, we have sin in us, and sin brings separation from God. It's the law of sin and death. Again, Jesus takes our sins on himself as an offering for sin. And he condemns sin in the flesh. Your sin in the flesh, in his flesh. Your sin is condemned in his flesh on the cross. He's condemned, so you're not. Do you love him yet? And in this, he liberates you into a new paradigm of life. Before, it's the law bringing sin, a revelation of sin to all humanity. And Jesus comes to save you. And once he does this, there's a brand new law that now is at work. Just click, 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 click. A whole new paradigm we live under now. No longer the law of Moses, but we live in a law of liberty. And notice the word Spirit with a big S. We now live in a new paradigm. Life in the Spirit. We live under a whole new set of rules in the Holy Spirit. Take notes this morning. Jesus did not bring us a new set of rules, but access to a new relationship. What Jesus did on the cross for you and I, he didn't come to give us more rules, but new life. And access to new life in the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is not about you doing, it's about what God did in Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. The Christian life is not about trying, but trusting in Jesus, who died on the cross and resurrected from the dead. And people, he has authority over life, and he gives you new life in the Spirit. This is what it says in Romans 8. So the million-dollar question is, how does somebody receive the Holy Spirit? Answer? How do we get the Spirit of the living God that dwells within us? Does anyone know? The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, 13. And I want to read it to you. In him, in who? Who's him? In Jesus. You, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the truth of the cross and what it means, in Jesus, hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also what on your part? Believed. What happened to you at that moment? You are sealed in who? The Holy Spirit that was promised long ago in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would fall on certain people on certain times, but there was a promise that one day the Holy Spirit will fall upon all God's people. And Jesus is now the fulfillment of that. How do you receive the Spirit of the living God? By believing in Jesus. The moment, see, I accepted Jesus in September of 1985. My wife accepted Jesus when she was 4, praying alongside her mom's bed. Holy Spirit came on her, 4. Me, 20-something. 20. You? Theologically, the Spirit of the living God came inside of you at the day that you believed. And that's awesome. See, here's the deal. And I need you to understand this because it's beautiful. You see, when God created us, when we read in Genesis chapter 2, and I want to read this to you, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust from the ground and breathed in him into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." The word life is plural. It means lives. When God created humanity out of the dust of the ground, God breathed and brought life into this person. And the word life is plural. Physical life, spiritual life, emotional life, right? God breathes life into humanity. We were created with physical life and spiritual life. We're a body, soul, and spirit from the beginning. And so what does God say to our ancestors, to Adam and Eve? God says, "You're blessed. Share in my love and glory, in my relationship with me. This world I have created is awesome. Walk with me and enjoy all the goodness that I have made. P.S. If you want to not be robots, and if you want to blow me off, you can if you eat of that tree, but if you do, you will die." And what happens? They eat, and what happens? They kept living. I'm still here. They ate, and they went, "I'm still here." But oh my gosh, you're naked. And for the first time, they experienced shame, guilt, fear, accusation, emptiness, loneliness, irrational thoughts. They thought they could hide from God. Where did they figure that out? People, if you think you can hide from God, you're not thinking clearly, right? What happened to them the moment they ate? They spiritually died. They still have a spirit. They still have a body and a soul. But their spirit is separated from God, who is spirit. And their bodies are now corrupted. Their bodies are polluted. The gene pool is now corrupted. And they, in time, will physically die as well. But they are spiritually dead and separated from that moment. Sin entered into humanity. And that's what Paul was saying in Romans 5 with the first Adam and the second Adam. But a new Adam comes to defeat sin and death. The moment you receive Jesus, you're born again, born anew, born from above. God's Spirit comes into your life at the moment you receive Christ. And you're born again. This is what Jesus is talking about. The new Adam restores you spiritually back to the Father. Does this make sense? I think this is beautiful. It's awesome. Why after salvation? Because the Holy Spirit is holy. And guess who can't live in you until you've been cleaned? The Holy Spirit is not coming in you until you've been cleaned from the cross. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you The moment you believed, you're sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise. And Jesus speaks of this so often. And the night before he dies, he says, it's good for you to die. It's good that I die. For if I die, well, I will send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you, he says to his disciples. But he's coming inside of you. The Spirit of God dwells inside of you. Does that freak you out? Do you think that's quite intimate? Think about it. God lives in you. Is that intimate? I mean, you think of human sexuality as being intimate? Imagine God living in you. Is that special? Paul says that now that this happens, we live under a new paradigm. We live in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. It's beautiful. Write this down. Here's a great verse. 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so we might become the righteousness of God. Write this down. Jesus paid it all for us on the cross and paved the way for the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Liberated. Liberated. Listen to this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free. Liberation, condemnation. From the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in the flesh in order that righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in him who does not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Jesus brings a new law into our lives, a law of liberty. So, Pastor Frank, how does this new law work? I thought you'd never ask. Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life, it's peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Write this down. Life in the Spirit is about focus. Life in the Spirit begins with focus. People, what you focus on is what you move towards. What you focus on is what you move towards. As a believer, the Holy Spirit in you and your old sin nature don't get along too well. And thus there's a war going on in you. Do I hear an amen? Do you guys experience this war? We experience it every day. But something changes in you when you accept Jesus. And it's a very spiritual thing. A long time ago, when I was running a college group down in Mission Viejo, when I was a student at Talbot Seminary, every Friday night at Doug Smith's house, he was the center for the Los Angeles Rams, and every night we would have our college group at his house. And there was like 40, 50, 60, it was just awesome. What God was doing a great work with all these surfer kids. And it was so great because Doug loved it. And he would bring some of the Ram players and they'd sit on the couch and they would hear, I get to preach to Jackie Slater and Jack Youngblood. I mean, these guys, it's awesome. And as these surfer kids were coming to faith in Jesus, they were sharing Christ. And this one guy named Walter shared, he was out there surfing in San Clemente, and he shared Christ with one of the drug dealers down in San Clemente named Shane. Shane was selling dope down at San Clemente Pier. And Walter kept sharing with him that he found a new drug that was better than dope. And pretty soon he had had Shane started coming to Friday nights, and he was freaking out, right? There's all these big guys there and stuff. And within 2-3 weeks of him coming, 2 or 3 or 4 times, Shane one Friday night began crying. And he ran down to his car, and he grabbed $300 worth of dope, bags of dope. And he brought it into Doug's house, and we flushed it all down the toilet as he accepted Jesus. And Doug was freaking out, like, the Orange County Register heard what is in my house. You know, I'm like, Doug, we're just going to flush it down. He's like, let the Lord leave. All right. You know, I'm like, it was awesome. Shane becomes saved. Shane becomes saved, and he starts joyfully sharing Jesus with Walter and all them out and surfing in this between sets at San Clemente Pier. And he went on like that for about 5 months. He went to family camp with us, a Christian camp, and he was just so on fire for the Lord. And all of a sudden, Shane quit coming after about 5 months, and I missed him 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, after 4 weeks, he comes in. I'm like, Shane, man, where have you been, bro? I've been trying to call you. And he's all bummed. And he's all, Pastor Frank, well, not, he said, Frank, he goes, I started smoking dope again. He goes, and I feel so bad. And you know what I said? Praise the Lord. He looked at me, what do you mean praise the Lord? I go, look at you. What you used to be able to do so easily, you now can't enjoy anymore, can you? And he goes, no. He goes, I feel terrible. I go, why is that? I said, because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, Shane. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, Shane, and now you have conviction of this. I go, welcome to the family of God, and I gave him a big hug. I said, this is awesome. Praise the Lord. And he's like, I didn't think you would respond to me like this. There's a war that dwells within us once we're born again. And which dog you feed is the one that lives. Which dog you gonna feed? If you got two dogs, you feed one, that's the one that lives. Walking in the Holy Spirit is about focus. What are you focusing your mind on? Because what you focus your mind on is what you move towards. Am I right? Paul writes about, if you want to walk in the Spirit, set your mind. It's about focus. Focus on the things above. It says in the Scriptures, in Colossians chapter 2. No, Colossians 3, right? Set your mind above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Don't set your mind on earthly things. Set your mind above. People, it's about focus. For you in this room, it's about focus. And that's the beginnings of walking in the Holy Spirit. It's not hocus pocus, it's focus. Walking in the Holy Spirit, it's not hocus pocus, it's focus. Read Romans 8, chapter 5. Focus on the Holy Spirit. And what you focus on is what you move towards. Fill your mind with the things of Jesus, and the things of Jesus will be evident in your life. Am I right? It's a question of what preoccupies us, of the ambitions we have, what drives us and concerns us, what engrosses us. It's focus, people. And write this down. Life in the Spirit is not about earning, but learning. And it takes effort. Life in the Spirit is not about earning. You're not earning your salvation. You've already given it. It's a free gift. But life in the Spirit is about learning. And it takes effort. Set your mind on spiritual things. Why did you come to church today? Did you come to church today to get a few points? If you did, I got bad news for you. It isn't a point system. If you came here today thinking, I'm going to come to church, I'll get a few brownie points. It's not a point system, and you don't want it to be. You didn't come here to church today to earn. You came here to learn, to worship. Why do you pray? You don't pray to earn. You pray to learn and to connect in this new relationship. You don't go to growth groups in order to earn your salvation. You've already got it in Christ. You go to growth groups, you have fellowship to learn and to walk in the Spirit. walking in the Spirit is not about earning, it's about learning, and it takes effort. You coming here today takes effort. Walking in the Spirit takes effort. But the effort is not about earning your salvation, it's about you growing up, growing into being a Christian. Life in the Spirit, it's a new paradigm shift, and it's beautiful. Walking in the Spirit takes effort. Focus. People, what you focus on is what you move towards. Focus on the things of the Spirit. Romans 8, 5 through 11. Are you ready? Here's Paul's letter as we close out. Here it comes. Here's his thought. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit, with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Have you noticed that? When you walk in the ways of the Lord, you just have peace, you have life, you have hope. Focus on the Lord in this crazy world. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't want to submit to God. It can't. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. You who've accepted Jesus. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and how does the Holy Spirit come in you? Moment of salvation. Right? If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Good news. No condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. You who have accepted Christ, there is no condemnation in your life because Jesus was condemned for you. You in this room, liberty, freedom in Christ. You're no longer under the law of sin and death. You're under a new law, liberated into a new relationship with God. And it's a fun, beautiful relationship. Joyful. Wonderful. Yesterday I was at Shuva speaking here, and there was an Afghani woman, Muslim, who had accepted Jesus 5 months ago. And she was speaking to me afterwards and speaking about, in the last 5 months, this new life that she's experienced by finally meeting a different Jesus than the one in the Quran, and how this Jesus has set her free. Big smile on her face. The Islam, five pillars, work your way up, hopefully God accepts you. No. Let me give you Jesus. No, well, this Jesus, the real Jesus, not a counterfeit Jesus, the real one. She was down here with joy and a smile on her face, 5 months of stirring in Romans 8. There's no condemnation for me. I am liberated in Christ. It was awesome. Good news for you today. This new life we have in Christ is beautiful and wonderful. It's awesome. The book of Romans explains to us the reason why the baby is selfish and will grow up to lie and cheat and steal. Because it's marred. Made in the image of God, but marred in sin. But Romans teaches us that God, in His love for you and me, has sent His Son into the world, who is condemned, and He heals us and restores us and brings new life to us. And this is just the beginning of Romans 8. It's a great chapter, and y'all ought to read it. You should pan it like gold. Just pan and watch the nuggets just come right out, and you're going to go, truth, 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 this is me, and you're going to smile on you're going to just say, this is awesome. The whole Romans 8 just builds, and it's glorious. I love it.
Many say it's one of the best chapters in the New Testament. Certainly the climax of Paul's letter of Romans. I double dog dare you to read it this week. As I was looking at this text, I'm like, I want to sing this song called Behold. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. This song was written out of Australia about a year, year and a half ago. And the theology of this song is beautiful. As you listen to this song, and we're going to close with this song speaks of God the Father and His love for you. And it rolls from God the Father to God the Son and what Jesus did for you on the cross, that my soul should know its Savior. And then it keeps rolling into the coming of the Holy Spirit into your life. It's a beautiful song that has an awesome journey to it. And I want you to stand with me as we close out this service singing this song. And as you hear this song, would you make this song a prayer? Stir this song into your life and sing it unto the Lord. It's a great song. Behold.